You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. You're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the noisy library of New Zealand music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
Yes, it's my favourite segment and arguably one of the most important segments on 95BFM. I'm biased, but hey, it is what it is. And today for Audio Culture, we're joined by a regular, one of our favourites, Gareth Shute. How are you doing, Gareth?
Good, yep.
We're talking about your great new piece, 10 Trailblazing Auckland Dance Parties and Promoters from the 1990s to 2000, which is very exciting.
Yeah, I've been filling gaps lately on Audio Culture. Like, I finally got around to writing one on Nine Lives the other day, epic. The hip-hop act, and it's an interesting story of just coming from nowhere and blowing up on Spotify. And I wrote one about Parachute Festival, the Christian festival, which is always something I wanted to cover. And this is another one I think people have always thought there's a lot of big dance music stories that are hard to fit within audio culture. And I was trying to think of how can I sort of tell the story of how Auckland nightclubbing went from basically nothing in the mid-80s through to just this massive thing where you'd have 5,000 to 6,000 people events, like in the just a short distance from the inner city, you know, where they're like hiring out like race courses and stuff. And it's like only, you know, 15 years later, really, that it went from like nothing to being massive.
That's crazy. I've got a friend whose dad used to play in a lot of bands around the city, and he told me that his dad was like, in the 80s. It would be, we played 5 gigs a night in different bars as a band, we're going all around, and then all of a sudden there was no gigs because we had DJs.
Yeah, I know. It's like
a funny
transition. Even in my book, like the book Songs from the Shaky Isles that I released last year, that's about the history of New Zealand music, it's hard to fit DJing in. It's so like in the moment, but it's so important. Like it puts people onto music that changes the whole music scene and changes the music people make eventually. I mean, when it started in the 80s, it was really just people going to London, like Simon Gregg or Russell Brown in particular early on, just coming back with records and being like, we've got to play these in the clubs and stuff. Because people like Andy Van or whatever, the early DJs, or even Roger Perry when he started, these people who'd gone to be key figures, when they started, they'd just be playing whatever, like just back-to-back random songs to try and keep people dancing. And it was only like hip-hop, I think, was quite inspiring because it was the whole idea of mixing the tracks together. And so they all kind of got into hip-hop for a little while at least. Even people like Sample G, Grant Kearney, who later was a big dance music guy, and Sam Hill, who's a big DJ, they all like started in hip-hop because it was at that time it was like, that's where mixology was happening and where the interest was happening. And then slowly they discovered, now I've got these skills, I can apply them to house music, and house music just became the coolest thing. All these people coming back from overseas just going, where can we have this experience in New Zealand? There's nothing like, all these nightclubs where
I want to dance all night, 4 on the floor, no groove break.
Yeah, and so the early events, some of them were like at Watts Power Station now, like Simon Gregg had a club night there, and then one of the big ones was like Grant Fell, who went on to be in Headless Chickens, was a big promoter. And he when Russell Brown came back, they started a set of dance parties, and Roger Perry helped out as well. And because Grant Fell and Roger Perry were friends from outside of Auckland and skated when they were younger, they put a little half pipe in there and stuff, and like had skating and dancing and hip hop, and it was just like a total blend of all the things they liked at that time.
I saw that on there's a great photo. It's a gorgeous like half pipe that they've got in there. And did I get this wrong? Tony Hawk? Tony Hawk pulled up?
That first Power Station one was a smaller version, but when they went on, there were all these little promoters around town starting to break the mold of what could be done. And one of them had already done a little dance party down at the train station that was only running in the daytime so they could have it at night.
Crazy.
And so they did this one called Unity, where like four different promoters all got together and they made this massive half pipe. And the skateboard crew were in town at that point. And so, they had these professional skaters coming down. So Roger Perry would be DJing on this big platform that they'd made, and then looking out across, and some of the best skateboarders at that time were like skateboarding. And then they had a side room, I think. It was interesting to see like Slow Dick was friends with a lot of those promoters, and so from quite early on, dub and Jamaican music, dancehall, so people like Dubhead and Stinky Jim were really important. They had these side rooms at these big raves where they'd have like Jamaican music, which was quite a New Zealand thing, I think, that really influenced things later on. And then after Unity, I think a big one that popularized it, though, was The Brain. I think hopefully people remember The Brain, if people are out there, because it was a really long-running club night. But their most crazy one was at the Town Hall. They went along and they totally oversold it. And they didn't even check the capacity until, like, the night. They were like, hey, how many can it take? And the like owner's like, oh, 1,300. Oh, we've sold 1,800 tickets or whatever. And people were like breaking in the back door, and the dancing was so heavy. It was like cracking the podiums in the middle of the floor and stuff. Yeah.
When I read that in the article, I love the part where they're like, and they never invited us back. And I was like, yeah, I'm sure they didn't.
We'll get to that. But I thought that was put on by Sam Hill and Greg Kearney, Sample G. So, Sambal G was also involved in this dance music track at this time, which he did with, he helped put together, Alan Jansen was really behind it, the guy behind OMC, but I thought it'd be funny to play this. It's such like, it takes the same sample as the Black Box, Right on Time, like this classic disco number. So it's pretty derivative, but it's, this is where house music in New Zealand was at about 1990-1991 sort of thing, and it got on the charts and stuff in New Zealand. It's pretty funny. Check it out.
This is the Chain Gang, Break the Beat. And
it's hard to play these old tracks.
There we go.
Taking you back.
On the dance floor, people are moving to the sound that we have created. It's brand new, all the other sounds dated. We're live, and we can move the crowd. Turn that bass kick up real loud till it punches like a Tyson blow. When it comes to the bass, we're in the know. Call it hip house, call it what you like. On the microphone and getting high tonight, coming correct. I'll take you out like a jerk, cause me and the brothers, we go to work to give you the sound coming out your speaker. We sound strong while the other sound weaker. Pump it, boy, if you can take the heat, cause we're rocking it live, gonna break the beat. This is the party zone. Homeboys, no time to be alone. Grab a girl and jam the floor. Do that dance until you get sore. This jam's so tough, it's a dance for fear. When we're housing, stand clear. So to the screw, prove your moves. And if you feel good, you can't lose. Pack the jam, it's time to witness the lyrical speed of this dance for fitness. Move that body, forget that fear. Forget those worries, cause we're here. This goes out to the dance floor maniacs. This beat is just an aphrodisiac. Pump your body, move your feet. So jam the floor as we pump the beat.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm getting down to this. This is Break the Beat, the Chain Gang. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Audio Culture. This is a very fun Audio Culture. We're talking about dance promoters in Auckland City from the 1990s. to the 2000s. And we're joined by Gareth Shute, of course.
Yeah. The article on audio culture, you should definitely check it out. It's got that video, which is hilarious, and it's got a photo of the half pipe that was at the Unity dance party downtown.
Man. Even the photos of the posters and the ticket stubs, like I read one of them before, and it had like, it was a BFM in association with Real Groovy and Ticketek, and I was like, Ticketek?
Yeah, and good times.
People used to go pick up their tickets? Like,
Yeah. People keep those stubs. Like, people, I'm sure, have got some of these other ones. Someone texted in about dance parties at the Crypt on Simon Street, and I'm sure if people flick through this article, there'd be a lot of other memories. But I really want to, it was hard to pick which ones, like, on one hand, I wanted to do the real big ones, like Lightspeed Productions was this organization that just brought in massive acts from overseas, and they were the ones who like started doing, you know, Ellerslie Racecourse and things like that. But at the same time, you know, there were other things like Hero Party was actually massive when it very first started, and that was just totally changed. You know, it was such a positive way to deal with the AIDS crisis, to be like, no, let's celebrate people who are homosexual being brave in the face of this disease and these negative connotations, and learn about safe sex in this positive way. So, but it was through this massive dance party. It was just like, you know, at the railway station and at just massive places around town. So it's cool to talk to Julian, who went on to be one of the organizers of that, and he also worked at Lightspeed. Like, seemed like a real cool guy, and his one at the Hero Party he did at Town Hall was a legendary one, with just, you know, just crazy drag acts, just wild, you know, people swinging from the ceiling. Man. Like, yeah, they were crazy parties.
We need some more of that.
Yeah, but then at the same time, yeah, I mean, you know, Stomping Cause, another of the dance party promoters or run of events that I cover, and that was interesting just because they were one of the first to bring the real full-on laser light shows and like dress up these events with like plastic sheets over the walls and stuff, so that it was like totally like tripped out. And he told me some stories off the record, but the one that made him there was one of the lasers, like the sensor slipped and they just totally burnt a hole in the wall. Like, it was totally quite dangerous working with these like full-on lasers and just teaching themselves, you know. It's such a Kiwi attitude, and their dance parties became kind of legendary. At the other end, there was people like the breaks, the dance party series, which always remained smaller, and it was kind of interesting talking to him about, you know, he knew that it could have been a bigger thing, you know. Andy Pickering from helped start that, but later on, Tim Roper, and he purposefully kept it small and tried to, like, you know, he wanted it to be for the purists and stuff, and avoid that kind of rugby head rock culture in New Zealand. Yeah. Like, it was kind of like an accepting kind of thing. And I feel like Subtronics and the Breaks was a place that inspired so many people. We've got such a strong drum and bass culture in New Zealand. I think it is because of that. And, you know, people like the Upbeats and Concord Dawn especially would have been like inspired coming out of that. Oh, Dave Roper. I said Tim Roper. he was the guy, main guy from Subtronics. And DJ Pressure as well, of course.
I love these names, man. Like, I feel like people were really going for it back in the day.
Yeah.
DJ Pressure.
They got so big, it was crazy. They sold, like, you know, things like Nice and Ehrlich or whatever, you know, which started out of BFM. A lot of the stuff had relations to BFM. A lot of the people involved would have shows up here and stuff. But, yeah, they definitely would just have, easy kind of house music that you could listen to on a Saturday morning. But then, we can make these compilations, and they sold, like, tens of thousands of copies. And then they, like, got to the point where they could pack the St. James, you know, they could headline events there and stuff. But I think it did. The reason why I went, I should mention also, BFM wise, of course, the Titanic, which is like Mikey Abbott kind of helped to inspire, was, and the guys from Wyndham Bowling Club, ended up running it, which was just the idea of having a dance party on the boat in the in the harbour and stuff. So they'd like pull up and the dance beats would be going. You could like, they did afternoon ones where you could like have a swim, you know,
what?
Near the Chelsea Sugar Factory and then come back straight onto the dance floor and have a boogie and stuff.
I'm so jealous right now. That is crazy.
Oh, I kind of jumped the shark though. Like those ones were cool. But then there were all these sponsored kind of on a boat ones and stuff where there'd just be so much energy drink promo or whatever because, you know, people didn't drink alcohol. It'd be insane. Or like, they even had one that was on a train at one point. Like, I think Sample G was involved in that one. Like, you got on a train, and it was like a six-carriage train, and there's a dance party, and they just went down the track and back. See, and then they had one on, like, Pakito Island. Like, it was getting a bit carried away.
I love how, like, how far they're reaching with it, because nowadays it's like, let's slap our branding somewhere while someone DJs. Like,
yeah, in the same club on K Road or whatever.
Yeah. It is what it is. I'd go to a rave on a train. That sounds crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the rave on the boat was cool. BFM had their own dance party because obviously they got so into it that they had Unst, which was their dance party. So I wrote about that and talked to Mikey about how these came about and stuff. So, yeah.
The way you wrote that section where you're like, by the good graces of Mikey's friends, they taught him how to DJ.
Yeah, well, it was.
So much sense.
Yeah. I guess we will finish as just like I thought to present the transition of like how it went from that late 80s when we hardly had a dance scene in Auckland in the inner city through to like the guy from Lightspeed eventually just got sick of putting on massive events. He was a real purist and he loved like Greg Churcell and Suwane especially, and so he started doing these littler events where he'd just do one of the old cinema rooms, the Grand Circle at the St. James and stuff, and it was a lot more purist. And that was at a point where Greg Churcell and Suwane were both getting like songs on the UK club charts. Whoa. And stuff. He had a connection with Paper Recordings, and so that's how, yeah, Suwane released stuff through Paper Recordings. And even after he passed away in I think around 2011 or maybe more recent, Paper Recordings released a whole like compilation of all his songs. So this is one of the songs off that, and hopefully kind of shows how far the like scene progressed where we did have our own producers making this great music. And it's a long way from a sort of black box ripoff. As good as Break the Beat.
It was so, so, so good.
So you can compare these two and have a look on Audio Culture. Yes. It's quite a long article and it's quite in-depth and it's kind of a passion project. So I think anyone who went out to the clubs in the 90s would really enjoy it. So have a read. I won't try and replicate thousands of words here on the radio.
It's truly a great read, well-researched. And if you're not a big reader, the photos are worth it just by themselves.
Yeah.
But trust me, you want to read it. Because I can hear how much fun you were having in the writing.
Yeah, like, especially if you were around at that time. There's something will trigger a memory. You'll be like, whoa, man, so wasted at that thing. Oh, boy.
Back in my day.
Back in my day.
This is Syncopated Music by Suwane. This is Audio Culture with Gareth Shute.
Thanks.
It's so refreshing to talk to Gareth again. I'm like, people care, love, and are documenting New Zealand music history. How lucky are we? Audio Culture. This is Syncopated Music by Swan here. We're going to let it play out. When we get back from our little break, some more dance music potentially. If you guys are keen for that, 5395 if you have any thoughts, feelings. A lot of people are texting in. Someone said, ooh. Sorry, a little dance break there. Someone said, I flew to Sydney to fly back and photograph the catwalk at 30,000 feet for New Zealand Fashion Week in 2002. Models using the aisle as a catwalk, so much fun. Shout out Glenn from Namotu. Someone said, I went to the Wyndham Bowling Club and the Titanics. There was a few others like Normanby Road, the compound, Superfly. Oh, where? I love all the old school ravers in the text. We've been partying since before time, apparently. And there's still great parties out there. There's some amazing promoters putting on stuff. I have to say, make sure you check out what's going on in the local scene in Tamaki Makaurau, because we're very blessed. Got some good homies who are putting on some good gigs.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.